Grace, you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In our gospel reading today, we have recorded the ordination of our Lord Jesus into his mission and ministry as Savior of the world. Matthew identifies this event as Jesus' baptism. But it was every bit as much an ordination of sorts as it was his baptism. For you see, it marked the formal beginning of the ministry of Jesus. This was the start of his earthly reign as prophet, priest, and king. And because of that, perhaps we should actually call this Jesus' inauguration, or maybe his coronation, rather than his ordination. For you see, in Jesus' baptism, God coronated his Son as King of creation, and then he sent him out to begin his reign. This aspect of Jesus' baptism might very easily be overlooked had it not been for the words of God spoken from heaven following Jesus' emergence from the water. Matthew writes, "At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" And with that one heavenly utterance, God identified who his Son Jesus was and what he had come to do. What's really interesting about this text, about this heavenly decree, is that it's actually made up of two Old Testament texts. It's kind of funny. God was actually quoting the scriptures here. He was quoting himself, so to speak, to make a very significant point about Jesus. Now, the first part of this quote is from Psalm 2. It was a psalm that has been attributed to David, and it was later used as a coronation psalm. When kings would be coronated, this was the psalm they would use. And thus, what God was saying by using this psalm at Jesus' baptism was, here is your king. Here's your king in the line of King David. The second part of God's statement is taken from Isaiah 42, which is one of the four servant songs in Isaiah. These four songs in Isaiah describe the work of the future servant of the Lord, the one who is also better known as the Messiah. And thus, God's inference from this quote was that Jesus now is the long-awaited and long-expected Messiah, and that he's here to serve God, and he's here to serve people. So, the point of God's quoting from the scriptures was to identify Jesus as the Messiah of Israel, and then also to describe his reign as one consisting of and identified by service. Service to both God and service to people. Not exactly the role that the people expected their long-expected Messiah to fill, is it? Israel was full of slaves. They didn't need any more slaves. They needed a king, a commander, a leader, somebody who would help them throw off the chains of slavery, not add to them. Citizenship in the Messianic kingdom was supposed to be one of pleasure and leisure, not more work. After all, the covenant promise to Abraham and the one to which Israel had clung on to for so many years was a promise of blessedness. They were chosen by God to be a blessing, to ask not what they could do for others, but always what others could do for them. Membership in God's family is supposed to have its rewards. It's supposed to be a life of privilege, right? Well, at least that's what Israel thought for the last 1,000 years or so. They truly believed that God had chosen them for a life of privilege. After all, doesn't being chosen suggest special treatment? Not in God's world. Israel had been chosen, all right. But they were not chosen for a life of satisfaction. They were chosen for a life of service. They were chosen to be God's instruments of salvation to the world. Through them, all of the world was to experience the blessings of a loving and a gracious God. They were chosen not to be served, but to serve and to give themselves for others. But as we know, the history of Israel, Israel could not and Israel did not fulfill its covenant relationship with God. The blessings that God had bestowed on them throughout their history, they used selfishly and they used sinfully. Rather than using their faith and their knowledge and their resources to influence others with the grace of the one true God, they ended up following the detestable practices of their pagan neighbors, and they broke their covenant relationship with the Lord. And so, in the fullness of time, God sent his son, Jesus, into the world to do for the world what Israel could not and did not do. He became Israel reduced to one. God sent his son, Jesus, to be the blessing to others that Israel was supposed to have been. He came to serve, not be served, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to be a king indeed, to be a servant king, as was announced at his baptism. Jesus came to be the servant of Israel and the savior of all. His entire ministry was spent serving others, even to the point of laying down his life on the cross of Calvary. He used his own life to pay the ransom for our debt, for our sin. And then he rose from the grave. He rose from the dead to give us the victory over both death and over sin. You see, from beginning to end, Jesus' messianic mission was made up of service. If that was the form and the substance of the life of our King, then that is to be the form and the substance of the life of his subjects also. For as Jesus once put it, no servant is above his master. Since Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our King, lowered himself to take on the very nature and the life of a servant, then we are to do the same thing. And thus, citizenship in the kingdom of God, or what we might call membership in the body of Christ, is not a call to a life of privilege. It's a call to a life of service. But I'm afraid all too often, kind of like the children of Israel, we forget that. We think that we've been blessed by God so that we might enjoy our lives a little bit more. Now, granted, blessings do add to the comfort and enjoyment of life. But God didn't give us those blessings for that reason. That's not why we've been blessed. He bestows his blessings on us so that we then might share them with others. If I have been blessed financially, then I am able and I am expected to financially bless others also. If I've been blessed with time, then again, I am able and I am expected to use my time to serve others. If I've been blessed with some type of special skills or abilities, again, I am able and I am expected to use those talents to serve other people. In God's kingdom, being blessed implies a responsibility to then be a blessing. That's what Jesus' life and ministry was all about. That's what they were all about. It was about service. Already in Isaiah, think about it, some 700 years before Jesus was born, God described the coming Messiah, the one on whom his spirit would rest. He described him as a servant. And then in Jesus' baptism, that role was reconfirmed and re-echoed in the descent of God's spirit and then the words from God's mouth. Jesus, God's only son, the messianic servant king, came to serve others. He came to give his life for the creation, for humanity. That was the mission of his life. And that's to be our life's mission too. May God fill each of us with such a servant's heart. And may we each daily realize that we have been blessed in order that we might be a blessing. May God grant this for the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen.